For progressive Christians, those who take the Bible seriously but not literally, this morning's lesson is a kind of litmus test for how we interact with Scripture. John writes with a desire to point us to a deeper truth, larger than the literal story. In this case, it is the conviction that out of death comes resurrection. You see, John is a mystic, which is why he is so appealing to Eastern and Orthodox Christians. His gospel stories are filled with unusual images of light and dark and remarkable events, creating for the reader a sense of spiritual wonder, but often intellectual confusion. The emerging flavor is philosophical, it is spiritual, and it is independent from the other gospels, as he tells the stories of Jesus not found elsewhere. The story of the raising of Lazarus calls forth some of that confusion in us. It is so unbelievable, it makes me cranky. But you know what? It has captured the imagination of poets and theologians, because who wouldn't want to live forever? Or at least be brought back to life after death. There's even a medical phenomenon I found out by Googling the word. It's called the Lazarus syndrome. There have been numerous cases reported of people around the world who have spontaneously come back to life again. I found myself returning to this story over the years because of the significant characters and the dramatic interaction among them. It begins, "Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus." We know that they're good friends. And whenever Jesus could take a break from his ministry, he could be found at their table in Bethany. No wonder when their brother died, the sisters sent for Jesus. No wonder he responded by coming when the time was right. It's through Mary and Martha, those twins of the religious path, one action and the other contemplation. It's through them that we see, in the midst of difficult times, the spiritual practice of being present to God. Martha says to her friend, "If you were here, it would not have happened. My brother would not have died." It's a wish, it's a demand, it's a cry. It's a posture of prayer all at once. Mary, the gospel reports, is still at home, probably crying. But later, too, she'll run to Jesus with the same exclamation. A man by the name of Brother David Stindall Rast is a Benedictine monk who has devoted his life to the art of prayer. He believes that prayer is simply waking up to the presence of God, no matter where we are, no matter what may be happening in our lives. Let me tell you about the first time I really understood what he was saying. It was back in seminary in the late 1970s, and it was during the Lenten season. And I was taking a class where part of what we looked at and part of what we participated in was meditation and prayer. The professor came in with a roll of cherry lifesavers that day, and he asked each of us to pray with one of those melting inside our mouths. In fact, he suggested that the lifesaver itself was a prayer. Now, I've eaten many lifesavers during my life, but I have to tell you that none tasted as full of flavor as that one. Waking up and being present to an aspect of existence and allowing it to speak in its fullness is a form of prayer. So it's no surprise that Martha acts first in this tender story of the death of Lazarus. Her sister was probably at home crying on the bed. But Martha, she has to be in motion. She goes out to meet Jesus on the road. And she says to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Her words shove her into the presence of the Holy. With that simple statement, she opens herself to God's activity in her life. Her words are powerful. Anger mixed with grief and a dash of hope. "I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you." Now, some of us who have been to this place know that on the surface, it doesn't work that way. We've asked for things from God that simply haven't shown up. Whether it's an A on our high school history exam, or getting the job we wanted, or even more life for a loved one. We know that at times our literal prayers have not been granted. We haven't always received what we asked for. But it is right at the moment of our disappointment that we learn about the presence of God. Under all our words and even our emotions, the posture of prayer is creating that place in our lives where the Holy can enter in. With sighs too deep for human words, Martha entered that sacred space with her wild wish on the Bethany Road. When we open ourselves to the power of the presence of God to breathe into our lives, we're praying. The most powerful prayers were the ones where people have prayed for God to simply come and be here right now. The psalmist puts it more poetically. "As the heart longs for the water stream, so longs my soul for you, O beloved. My soul thirsts for you, for the living water. When may I come and behold your face?" The practice of being present is waking up to our desire for the presence of God in life. Martha awoke to a broken heart and quickly sought out God to pull her through. What wakes you up to God? It might be the pain of the world or its beauty. It might be the urgency we feel this morning as we wait to see what will happen with the tense political atmosphere around the world. It might be gratitude for the beauty of the music that sweeps us to another place. Or thankfulness for life in this faith community with each other. For some of us, it might be a desire for help, getting through a crisis in our lives. For others, a deep longing to make an important life change. What is the lifesaver melting in your mouth today? What's waking you up right now to the presence of God in your life? Whatever is awakening you this morning is the beginning of a prayer, a cry, a plea, an invitation for God to be present in your life like God has not been present before. Learning to pray isn't difficult. You simply get on the road and trust that, like Martha, we'll be met there. The longer I have tried to learn the art of praying, the more I'm learning to trust that prayer is not something we do with the right words or the proper posture at the correct moment. The life of prayer is the practice of waking up and opening up to the holy. The late Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said it this way: to pray is to bring God back into the world, to expand God's presence among us. This week ahead, I would encourage you to be deliberate in making prayer a part of every day. Find a way to wake up to the presence of God in your life. You'll be richer for it. Amen.